This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, back in Jeff Calkins show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Seasonal by the late Memphis indie punk artist Jay Retard, who died in 2010. Jay would have been 45 years old today.
All right, Lakers are bounced. No surprise to you. What's I don't know if you've studied their path. I assume LeBron's coming back next year. I assume Luka, I guess, will sign the deal, the much smaller deal than he could have signed had he remained in Dallas. I don't really blame them for not being able to assemble a good team around them, given that they were doing this on the fly. Thoughts on the Lakers' future?
Well, I mean, last night, Beverly highlighted that they needed a center pretty badly.
Yes.
And they tried to trade for one right at the deadline, and Mark Williams, and then they rescinded it for medical reasons, and at that point it was too late to do anything else. And so you get to a playoff game, and Jackson Hayes is just not playing at all, and you have a 40-year-old LeBron James playing like 40 minutes at center, and Rudy Gobert's going off. And so that was sort of a bad place to be. To lose a playoff game at home, an elimination game, playoff game at home, with LeBron James and Luka Doncic on your team, and the best player on the other team, in theory, Anthony Edwards went 0-for-11 from three.
Yep.
It's pretty rough stuff. I don't know about the Lakers, man. Like, LeBron is still good, but, like, he's not getting better. And I assume he'll be back because he can make $60 million coming back to the Lakers. I don't think he's going to play anywhere else.
Right.
I think he's living in Los Angeles and making money is what LeBron James is doing. And, like, he'll be doing that for the Lakers, I assume.
Well, that's the interesting thing is that there's no question that Dallas was a loser in this trade. And I don't know what, like, Lucas said nice things about, he said nice things last night about J.J. Redick. He said playing for him is a little bit like being back in Europe, and he raved about him afterwards. And I presume at this point he'll go forward that way. But he had a better team around him in Dallas.
He did. He did. Obviously, Kyrie got hurt since then, so if Kyrie still gets hurt, That changes it a little bit. They had a lot of injury issues.
Yeah.
But no, fundamentally, yes. The team he was on in Dallas last season is better than the team he's on with the Lakers this season. And it doesn't seem to be, like, clear, obvious opportunities for them to turn that into the kind of team that he took the NBA Finals a year ago. Then again, it's the Los Angeles Lakers.
Right.
So we all just wait until, like,
right,
some amazing player shows up, you know, and puts on a uniform.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. So George and I went through the exercise. We hadn't done this previously, but now that the Grizzlies are out, we went through the exercise of determining who we wanted, which was our unofficial official team to root for, of Jeff Calkins Show, in the West and in the East. And in the West, I think it's pretty easy. We came down on the side of Minnesota. They got Mike Conley. In the end, there's been a rivalry there, but Memphis has been the better team in the rivalry, so it's harder to hate them. It's small market. Ant's likable. Like, it seems pretty easy to me that, and every other team I can't root for. Maybe Denver. Kind of like Denver, just because they have the best player in the world and he's fun and whatever. But it seemed like it was Minnesota. On the East, could be Detroit. You got Jalen Duren and J.B. Bickerstaff. But let's be honest, they're not going to win, go far. I have a chance in Cleveland to pick a team that, as you point out, gives Memphis hope because of the path that they have traveled, but also is a really good team and yet kind of an underdog because they're from Cleveland. I'm going for a Cleveland-Minnesota finals, which also would highlight two markets. That, I mean, the NBA, I guess the people who want big TV series would, quote-unquote, hate it. That's my series. What's your analysis?
I have actually thought about this, and I had pretty much the exact same thought process and the exact same conclusion as you did. So yeah, it's Minnesota. It was a Minnesota-Denver question, you know, pretty much, because you just can't do like Los Angeles teams, and you can't do the Warriors, and the Thunder just beat the Grizzlies. Like, you don't want them to win. But Denver's already won, and then there's Mike Conley. So, yes. And then on the other side, no, Detroit would be lots of fun, but like you, I don't take that seriously. And so Cleveland, I mean, I like the construction of that Cleveland team. I don't like that Cleveland has the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, there's that. Yeah, no,
where
good
Memphis
point.
Should, right?
Yeah.
But I like the construction of that team, and I do, and this is the point I've been making all year. Like, that is something you can look at and say, you can build a team like this, and you can do this. And so it's easier to tell yourself that if they actually do it.
I'm going to return to that point in just a minute. In terms of some of the others in the West, George asked, do we want Oklahoma? We don't. We don't want Oklahoma City because you don't root for your richer, more handsome twin. Like, you just, and then just beat you.
Right.
You just don't do that. There is this whole, if they eviscerate the whole rest of the league, like, it's interesting, though. You did, when we were talking about this earlier, are not totally convinced that they're going to.
I thought, and that Denver Clippers series is interesting because the Clippers could have won that in a sweep, and now they might lose it.
Right. I think we're losing. Speaking of losing it, oh, there you are. You're back. We lost you you blipped for a moment. You're driving through Iowa. Where are you?
I'm Missouri at the moment, but okay. Yeah. So same difference, really. So that Denver Clippers series, it was 2-2 through four games, but Denver won one game, like game one at home in overtime. They just barely squeaked out. And then they won, the game three, or I guess it was maybe game four. They won literally this buzzer beating dunk that was controversial.
Yeah.
And so the Clippers probably should have swept that series. And now the Clippers might lose that series because, now they're down 3-2 and they got to win the last two. I thought that the Clippers specifically could give the Thunder a series. I am less convinced of that with Denver.
I got you. Okay. To your point, though, about Cleveland, and this is a point you've been making all year, that people wondered if they were properly constructed, would you had to break them up? They sort of failed in the playoffs last year, and what they did is they changed their coach, and they came back, and they stayed to the course, and they added some players, and presto, look at how good they are this year. And that is a path for the Grizzlies could follow. At some point, I was taking calls on the Grizzlies, and it came up, other teams that at one point looked dead or looked like they had reached their whatever, should they be broken up? And there's a bunch. There's Milwaukee at one point. People talked about you have to get Giannis out of there to win a championship would be another. And Denver, honestly, before they won their title, they'd had a lot of failures as well. Are all three of those situations, those in addition to Cleveland, can they be analogized to the situation Memphis is in now or lessons?
I think the Cleveland one's a particularly neat fit. I mean, Denver and Milwaukee had Jokic and Giannis. I mean,
there you go. I can see that.
Those are MVP players. Donovan Mitchell this year is probably going to be maybe finish fifth in the MVP vote. He's going to be like the fifth guy on the all-NBA ballot. Well, a few years ago, John Morant was seventh. He was second-team all-NBA. He was seventh on the MVP. Like, fifth, seventh, it's not that big of a difference, right? But I do think the Grizzlies thing is predicated on John Morant being that. It's not predicated on John Morant being, like, the MVP of the league. but it's predicated on him being very solidly, strongly in the second tier of players, which is where Donovan Mitchell is now. Morant has been that. Maybe he was only that for 1 year, but he was that. And frankly, he was on his way to being that the next year until everything fell apart with the suspensions and then the Steven Adams and Brandon Clark injury. I think he was going to be probably second team all NBA again. And so the question was, that starts with the Grizzlies is, can John Morant get back to that? And I think the answer is maybe. I can't pound the table and say yes. That is, he will get back to that because there's reasons to believe he won't. But I don't think it's out of the question.
Where does the comparison fall down? Like, where are the weaknesses in it? What was the level of fretfulness about the Cavs after last year's playoff situation?
Well, where it falls down is that it may be that every player, when you do the side-by-side, every Cleveland player is just a little bit better than every Memphis player, right? Maybe Morant doesn't get back to that, and he's not, you know, the outskirts of MVP that balance. Maybe as good as Jaren is, Evan Mobley, because he rebounds and because he's a little bit younger and a little bit bigger, maybe he's just a little bit better, right? Maybe Zach Edey doesn't become the Jared Allen style, like, you know, double-double, makes one All-Star game in his career kind of center. And maybe that, you know, Darius Garland is a guy who, like, is going to get a few All-NBA votes, and Desmond Bane's a guy who's never going to get any All-NBA votes. That's where it falls down, for the most part. And then you can go for other things from there. There's all kinds of reasons why it probably won't happen, and it probably won't. But it could, in a way that, like, the Giannis situation's not going to happen. You know?
Right, yeah. In terms of Ja's stature, this is another topic we were talking about earlier. Obviously, as you pointed out, he was 0-for-11 last night. That team, by the way, they were 7-of-47 from three, and they still won that game against the Lakers. But so Ant obviously is a superstar. Shea is going to be the MVP, and Luka is Luka. I'm going to put Wemby over to the side here for a moment because he's different, and he's got health issues and different sort of place in it, all whatever. I'm giving you those three players for the Chris Harrington NBA team. Rank them: Luka, Ant, and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
I still think Luka is the greatest talent, but the injury conditioning stuff, which is part of the reason they traded him, like, is more of a concern with him than it is with the other two.
Yep.
It's a tough call because I think, as good as SGA is, I think that the team that he is part of is so much a part of it with him. I don't know that he's really better all around than Anthony Edwards, who's right, a better deep shooter and I think maybe a better one-on-one defender. And so that's a real toss-up. I'm gonna go. I don't have conviction on it. If Luka is healthy, the best version of Luka is the best player. So I'm going to go Luka, SGA, Ant, but I think it's very close, actually.
You also, though, when you're doing this, you also tend to say, who do you like to watch? So how does that play into it?
I wasn't embedding that in your question.
I know, but sometimes you do put that in your, like, your, give me the guy. Yeah. So who do you like to watch?
That's all a close call. They're different. They're really interesting players in different ways. Anthony Edwards, maybe, you know, maybe that's the guy I like to watch the most. SGA, you know, foul merchant, as they chant in right, FedEx form, it's not as interesting. I do like guys who play defense, too, and Luka doesn't do that. So I might go Anthony Edwards on that one.
Do we have any sense, by the way? I was going to get into this, some other topics I'll talk to you about tomorrow. Do we have any sense on the timing of when we will hear about, I mean, the first thing with the Grizzlies that we will know coming up is the coach, right? I mean, we're not going to know about trades, obviously, until the trade season comes around.
Until all the other teams are done playing.
Yeah, until all the other teams are done playing. So really, but we could find out tomorrow that Isolo is going to be the head coach going forward. Did you get any sense of the timing?
Not really. I don't think it'll be... What's today? May 1st?
Yeah, I guess it is. Yes. By the way, I didn't acknowledge it. Happy May, everybody.
Yeah. Happy May. I think we'll find out in the month of May. That's about as strong as I can get on it. And so I don't know. I don't have a sense it's going to be any day now. No.
Right. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Chris. Drive safe.
Thanks.
So there you go. He pretty much, by the way, agreed with you on everything there. Like, how much is Shea a product of? I mean, of course he's awesome, right? Right. But yeah, if you plucked Shea, if you swapped Ant and Shea, would Shea still be that version of Shea if he were on the Timberwolves? Right. And then there's the with Luka, there's the stuff. And then the sad thing is to me, is that literally once upon a time, you would put Ja in that tier. When people push back on me saying that the Grizzlies are still in the Timberwolves tier, which I do believe they are, they finished one game apart. And so next year, can I imagine that the Grizzlies would be the better team? 100%. Can imagine that. Among other things, Timberwolves older. You know, they've got how long Julius Randle's going to be there, and yep, Rudy Gobert's older and whatever else. So, you know, yeah, I do. But one of the reasons that I think people push back is that you no longer have Ja in the same tier as Anthony Edwards, and the best players aren't in the same tier. Ja is not considered, you know, with Luka, Ant, and Shea at this point. He's just not. But will he ever be again?
I certainly think. I mean,
you can imagine it, can't you?
Absolutely. But the biggest part of that is, and for all the concerns about health or injury with Luka, they are magnified by 100 with Ja Morant, because we've seen it. How many seasons now does he not even play?
It's just injury.
50, 60
if he
games?
Plays, you t- if I,
it's
say,
purely because of the injury. Because
if
when
Ja
plays
70 games,
oh
next,
my goodness!
If Ja plays 68 games next year, right? Because here's the other thing: is that if he plays 68 games, it means that not only is he in those games enough, he's probably having relative good health overall. He's not missing a lot of games because he's banged up by this or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you got Ja for 68 games next year, I think at the end of next year, you would be talking about him in the same paragraph with those other dudes.
Absolutely. I don't see a way that you can't. But, and I will say, you brought up an interesting point in where you start your franchise with Chris, is the entertainment value, the entertainment factor of these players. Because if it's that, for me, Ant, number one.
How much, by the way, of that? He is fun to watch.
Yeah.
He's also just fun to listen to. Like, I don't know if you saw last night, he wandered home from the game last night. He was out with the people, you know? So it's not with Ant. It's not just he is demonstrably more fun to watch, although, you know, SGA
follows.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's also the whole thing is more fun.
Oh, his personality, his bravado is leagues beyond what we see from Chet and Luka, because, or not Chet, excuse me, SGA and Luka, Chet as well, just because they're quiet. Yeah. I mean, those two are quiet, and Ant seems like he can't stop talking.
And not in a way that irritates you, at least yet. Some of this, you know, the Grizzlies were once the young, fun, swaggering Grizzlies, mm-hmm, until it got irritating.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever, for the rest of the league anyway. All right, we got a special edition of Fish on Friday on Thursday. Fish on Friday on Tuesday on Thursday tomorrow, because we don't have Writer Than Right trivia. So he wanted to fill in, among other things. Charles has news of a new product at McDonald's. That certainly had me perk up. Before then, we'll do that next. Before then, I will tell you that Sam Hardiman did indeed, after his hole-in-one yesterday. Congratulations to Sam Hardiman. He's a regular on Wednesdays on this show. First hole-in-one ever. He did head right over to Frame Corner, because if you want to preserve a memory, that's where you do it. And what do you get framed? You get the ball and a scorecard, and is that like whatever? Like I don't know what else, but I wouldn't know how to do it. Like, you could put me with all the framing stuff on an island and say, as soon as you make this a beautiful framed hole in one commemoration, you can get off the I'd die on the island. But they will do it. They will do it beautifully, and Sam will always have that hole-in-one commemorated hanging on his wall, and they'll never be able to take that away from him. So if you have something that you care deeply about, that you want memorialized, treasured, savored, displayed, head over to the Frame Corner. Frame Corner Memphis, 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, on Thursday. Coming up next, Jeff Cockett Show, 92.9 FM is.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by our man in Washington, D.C. for a special edition of Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, on Thursday. We don't have Right in the Right Trivia. We don't have Kevin Cerrito. They're both on vacation. And so in our never-ending quest to provide you with the best content, we're hauling Fishman back in here for a special edition. And normally Charles sends me a list of things we're going to talk about. I have no such list, Charles. This is going to be an adventure for all of us. Welcome and thank you.
Well, we're channeling Kevin Cerrito. Uh-huh. What do you refer to him? The impresario of fun.
So, often.
You've never given me any kind of nickname.
Sometimes it's czar. Sometimes it's impresario of fun and games. It's not just fun. Fun and games.
Fun and games.
Well, right.
You don't ever call me the impresario. No one listens to this segment and thinks Fishman. That guy is the impresario of fun. I wish we had more fishermen.
That is, I have had people say they want more fishermen. No one has really ever attached your name to fun. It's the fun part that's a little elusive.
It's like going to the gym and getting more workouts. I want to say that at least one member of the kitchen cabinet on this side, upon discovering I was doing radio again today.
Oh, no.
Was totally aghast. And I said, well, I do it for the money. I'm certainly going to see this in my paycheck. And that person who shall remain unidentified, you'll be able to guess, said, you're an idiot, and hung up. So there you go. There's some static about devoting time to an
extra segment. Well, this would be a good time to say that if someone wants to sponsor Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Not Fish on Friday on Tuesday on Thursday, because we don't do it often enough. Although we could, honestly, if you came through. If someone wants to sponsor Fish on Friday on Tuesday. On the
Still there?
I'm here. You're here. I've been here all along. Haven't gone anywhere.
We would move to Thursday. We've been amazed. Just to market this for 1 minute. Ladies and gentlemen,
yes.
There are 3 segments a day, 15 segments a week.
Four segments a day.
6 segments a day. Uh-huh. There are 30 segments a week on this show.
Yeah.
This is the number one rated segment. More people listen to this than anything else, even Sam Hardiman.
Hold on. Wait a second. There's 5 days a week, and there's 4 segments a show. That's 20.
No, you said there's 3 an hour.
There's not 3 an hour. There's 2 segments an hour. Do you not listen to this damn show? We do an open.
I listen to the show all the time.
I do 4 segments an hour. Yes.
And then there's 10 segments. There's 4 segments a day. We have screwed up the math. 4 segments a day, 5 days, 20 segments.
Right.
This is number one. If you want customers, this is the place to come.
So you just need to sponsor it.
If you're running a central bank, the Central Bank of Greece or the Central Bank of Canada, and you want to advertise. We talk about central banking all the time.
And you know what? You really are channeling Kevin Cerrito, because the beginning of the trivia is always a personal advertisement for Kevin Cerrito. So this is 100%. You're just trying to get a little coin on the side. We would cut Charles in on the sponsorship.
A little coin on the side. Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like somebody.
Can we get to the actual meat of this, Charles?
Five years of free.
Can we get to the fun? Yes.
Can you Can you use the sentence you never use with me that you use with Kevin every week? Charles, I'm going to turn this show over to you.
Right, Charles, I'm going to turn it over to you. Kevin would give it back. You never would. Yes.
I would never give it back. We're going to just get the only sense in which we're channeling Kevin Cirito. We're not going to do a quiz. That didn't
good,
seem fair.
Thank God.
But we're going to offer you a choice of topic.
Oh.
You pick the topic, okay. And then the topic you don't pick, we'll do second. We got a lot of topics. We got 12.
I'm going to choose between them, and we're going to have to get to all of them. Well, this is right. Going to be a blast. This is why they don't call you the impresario of fun.
Choosing the order. Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. Yesterday's big gross domestic product was the GDP news.
GDP news.
Or today's McDonald's news.
George, what do we want? The McDonald's news or the GDP news?
Let's get the unfun out of the way first.
We want the GDP news, Charles. We want the GDP news yesterday. Yeah.
See, that's why you listen to Fish on Friday.
What is GDP anyway? Remind people.
GDP is simply a measure of everything we make and produce in the United States. It's literally the standard measure of the economy. It's like the total income number on your income taxes.
Yeah.
How did we do this year?
Yeah.
We measure it every 3 months in the United States. And actually, George bought the story the media was selling, which isn't the right story. It wasn't bad news yesterday. It just looked like bad news. Hmm. The official number said that all economic activity in the United States fell in the first 3 months of this year compared to last year.
Yep.
0.3%. Not a lot, tiny bit, but you don't ever want it to go down.
No.
If we have two quarters in a row of going down, that's what's called a recession. Bad news.
Really? Okay.
But in fact, there's a little quirk in the way GDP is calculated. Mm-hmm. And I did not know this. I learned this yesterday.
Okay.
When you add up everything we make, you then subtract the value of what we import because we bought it, but we didn't make it. And last quarter, the last 3 months, imports rose 51%. Imports of goods rose 51% in the last 3 months. You know why?
Because they got to buy it now ahead of the coming
trade war coming.
Yeah.
Trade war. That's insane. It's the highest jump if you put aside the pandemic since 1947. We don't often mention 1947 on the show. So it looked like the economy contracted, but in fact, if you adjust for the imports, the economy grew by 3%, and consumer spending grew by 1.8%. That's a little slower than it has been, but still going up.
It wasn't bad. The quarter wasn't bad. Isn't the fear that the next quarter is going to be slower? And why, by the way, since we're on this topic, I think last time I checked, why is the market up today? Why did it respond to all of this by going up?
Well, the market went down yesterday and then recovered. Today it's up because Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, trivia item, only the second cabinet member in the history of the United States to be named Scott. I was hoping he was the only one.
How the hell do you know that? That, by the way, would be a Kevin Cirito trivia question.
Scott. Have we ever had like
name the other Scott?
Scott. Yeah. Right? Any other Scott? Scott's a great name, but Scott sounds like a guy you'd go to a bar with and have a cheeseburger, not a guy you'd have running your Treasury Department.
Like Scott Morris, for example? You think I'm going to go?
Scott Morris, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Scott Morris. I would go have a drink with Scott if I lived in
What'd he say?
He said that there's going to be, quote-unquote, big tariff news at the end of the day. So, and there was the Chinese state media, China's state media reported this morning that Trump officials had called China and asked them to start negotiating a trade deal. Publicly, the Trump White House and Trump himself has said, they got to call me. It's on them. This morning, they announced that the Trump officials had called them and want to start negotiations, and they're open to that. The other thing they did yesterday, and I couldn't find the actual list, they announced the opposite of a blacklist. China apparently produced a list of 125 product categories that will be exempt from their tariffs, but okay. I couldn't find out what
all right, all right.
Semiconductor.
Enough of this. I want to get on to B. So I want to get on to the McDonald's.
McDonald's. Yeah. McDonald's is actually the bad news. McDonald's is actually the bad news.
I thought this
was
the new McDonald's product you were going to give us. You're giving us a McDonald's.
No, that's a separate one. That's a we're going to do that in a separate category.
Yeah.
There's two McDonald's. McDonald's sales overall dropped 3%. The real economy grew by 3%. McDonald's sales dropped by 3%. And same store sales in the U.S., restaurants open a year, their sales in the U.S. fell 3.6%.
Don't blame me.
That's bad news as a sign of the economy, right? If people are home eating carrot sticks and celery, that's good news. But it's bad news as a sign of the economy.
So did they say anything about it?
Here's what they said. It is the low-income customer, which for McDonald's is $40,000 a year in income and below. The low-income customer, their visits to the restaurant dropped 10% in the first 3 months. And it almost all came in breakfast. The CEO of McDonald's said people are eating breakfast at home or they are skipping breakfast altogether. So that was interesting.
Okay.
Not a great sign. He did say high-income customers, which for McDonald's is $100,000 and over, holding up well. The other interesting thing from the call, before we get to the menu item, is that they were asked about anti-American sentiment in the world.
Oh, elsewhere. Don't eat at McDonald's because it's like don't buy a Tesla kind of thing, only it's
don't buy an iPhone.
A double quarter pounder. Right.
60% of McDonald's revenue, 60% of the business comes outside the U.S. now. And he said, interesting, he said, we have surveyed this three times in the last 3 months. We ask questions in three categories: attitudes about the U.S., attitudes about American brands, and attitudes about McDonald's. The headline is, there's no change in the attitude toward McDonald's. People still love McDonald's, but negative sentiment about the U.S. is up between 8 and 10 points, which would be at least 20 to 25%, depending on what the numbers are. Negative sentiment about the U.S. up between 8 and 10 points because of the trade war, especially in Europe and Canada. No increase in negative sentiment in Latin America.
Right.
Okay, that's our first two.
Okay,
Let's do the next two quickly.
We'll be the judge of whether it was great or not. Go ahead, yes.
The new McDonald's. That's the best conversation about GDP we've ever had.
Can't argue with that. Next two topics.
The new McDonald's menu item or Subway news. We had Subway news last.
More Subway news. Okay, George, are we going new McDonald's menu item or are we going Subway news?
We're doubling down on the Subway news.
Subway first, and then we want the item. Yeah.
Yeah. The Subway news is kind of incredible. I did not do this math, but a guy I follow on Twitter who's a restaurant journalist. Subway announced that it had closed 600 restaurants last year.
Okay.
Subway used to be
the
biggest.
Most. It had the most.
By
yes,
restaurants, right.
Right.
The biggest in the world.
Wow.
10 years ago, in 2015, there were 27,100 Subways just in the U.S. Today, there are 19,502. They have closed 7,600 Subway restaurants in the U.S. in 10 years. That is two a day, 15 a week, nonstop for 10 years. That's an impressive shrink. They're trying to make Subway a better business for the people who own it. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. The average Chick-fil-A does $9 million in business a year.
Okay.
Each one franchised, owned by a single person. You can only own one Chick-fil-A, and you have to pay attention to it. $9 million a year. The average Subway does $600,000 in business.
Oh, my God.
So,
but then again, why the hell would you ever go to a Subway unless you had no other choice, really?
I disagree with that. That's a different topic. Okay, the McDonald's, yeah. The new McDonald's, I think Subway's good. The new McDonald's, you don't always want fried, greasy food.
No. But in the end, it's lost some cachet. Like, I get the sense that America now would rather go to a Jimmy John's or a, you know, pick another place, another Subway place.
Yeah, there's some hip.
Yeah,
Subway.
So, okay, go ahead. Anyway, we want to get to the item. Let's not put us off any longer.
I'm excited about this new menu item, which is McCrispy Chicken Strips. So this rolls out alongside nuggets. And this is a permanent menu item. It's not a promotion. And on Monday, in the suburbs of Chicago, where McDonald's is headquartered, they invited, it sounds like they invited 50 journalists in for a taste test. The McCrispy chicken strips are available starting this coming Monday, and they're getting great reviews. So what are these? This is real chicken meat as opposed to the nuggets, which is ground and processed chicken meat. This is just real chicken, lightly breaded, very spicy, and spicy sauce, creamy chili dip, a new sauce. And people think that the reviews.
Okay, so here's the thing. How much are they?
Not cheap. $5.49 for three, $6.19 for four.
Okay.
$5.49 for three.
Whatever, none of it's cheap now. I literally drive through Taco Bell routinely now, and I get a cheesy gordita crunch, a large diet Pepsi, and a spicy potato taco, and it's basically $10. It's $9.40 something. Like whatever, nothing's cheap anymore. So anyway, but I think this is great because the nuggets are just god awful. Like the nuggets at McDonald's are just god awful, and I know some of you people may disagree. They're horrible.
They're just battered.
They just don't feel like there's any chicken in there at all.
It's
like
just formed. It's a factory product.
And so
this is real chicken.
It makes all the difference in the world.
Breast,
yeah.
Right. And a new batter style, not tempura style. And this is aimed right at
me.
The place you were talking about.
Or Jeffrey.
Raising Cane's.
Yeah, exactly. Raising Cane's. Yeah. That's the other thing. All these chicken places are just booming, it feels like. Raising Cane's. Okay, we got two more. By the way, we've got some feedback. Let me stop this. It's different. It's Fish on Friday on Tuesday on Thursday, so the format's a little different. I'll stop now.
I want to sponsor it.
I'm going to stop now for a little customer feedback at halftime. Nash says, I eat at Subway three times a week, veggie footlong on wheat. So there you go. That's pretty good.
There you go.
And Franny says,
I have turkey on wheat.
And so Franny says, if I owned a business, I would totally sponsor Fish on Friday. Insert day. If I win the lottery, the Franny Foundation will definitely sponsor.
Will sponsor. There you go.
So there you go.
I was always hoping that the University of Memphis Engineering Department, because I'm such a promoter of engineering and STEM, my book.
Hold on. I got more halftime feedback. Okay, Hal says market's also up today due to the Microsoft and Facebook earnings. So
yes, Microsoft. He's right about that.
Okay,
right
onward. What are our next two? We like this game. George and I are ready.
I see that we have an educated audience.
Of course
sponsors.
We do. What do you think? Right. Yes, go ahead. Next.
Okay, you want Tesla news or a new affordable pickup truck news?
George?
Let's start with the pickup truck.
I was going to go the same way. Let's go with the affordable pickup truck.
This is kind of incredible. There's a company called Slate. There is also an online magazine called Slate, but they're unrelated. A company called Slate, based in Troy, Michigan, and backed in part by Jeff Bezos, that wants to produce an affordable and also manageable pickup. My wife and I would like to buy a pickup truck, but the truth is that there's no American pickup truck that doesn't require a stepladder. We're both 5'6". And so you kind of can't imagine. We kind of use
Hobbits don't really typically drive pickup trucks, except for Jeffrey. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Right. We use you grew up with a family that had a pickup. This pickup truck is going to be the size, as the Wall Street Journal described it, of a 1980s Toyota pickup. It's an old-fashioned.
They don't have those anymore. There's like the Ridgeline isn't that big anymore, but it's hardly even a pickup truck. It's mostly a
mostly a kind of
SUV. Weird car.
So this is a classic old-fashioned pickup. Two seats, two doors. The bed is big enough for a sheet of plywood. Price $27,500.
Wow!
But it's an EV, so with the EV incentive that's in place now, you can get it for $20,000, and it's got a unique body made out of high impact plastic, and the body is simply gray, that silver that every car in America is, and you can customize the body color any way you want. You can pick from 100 options that you can specify, and they're making a lot of the design elements they're making their actual CAD/CAM plans public. So if you want to print different brake light outline covers or different...
When's this going to be available? When's the truck going to be available? And are you...
It's going to be available next year. You can pre-order.
Okay. I'm just not down with I'm not down with an EV yet, I'll be honest. The idea of having to plug my thing in. I'm just like, maybe I'm a Luddite. The idea of having to plug it in, it's just it's not appealing.
How about the idea of never having to buy gas?
That appeals to me more, but that gets me to a convenience store where I can get Doritos.
The only thing I don't like about this is that if you're a couple, you can't take your dogs with you. You know, they have to ride.
Unless they ride in the back. Okay. Onward to the next thing, the Tesla news.
That's kind of a nice idea. Tesla and Elon Musk, big Wall Street Journal scoop last night at 7 o'clock. We've talked about the fact that Elon Musk is
leaving Doge.
Yeah,
but he's denied this. They've denied this. They've denied this thing. Go ahead. Tell people the story.
Going back to, you're commenting on the news that hasn't even been released yet. That he's leaving Doge and going back to be CEO of Tesla full time after Tesla saw its sales and profit drop 40%. 3 weeks ago, the board of directors of Tesla, initiated a search for a replacement CEO, and they notified their employee, Elon Musk, the CEO of Tesla, that they were looking for a replacement unless he wanted to come back and be the full-time CEO. Oh. And here you have it. So the
decision to come back was after that was done? Is that this was the decision?
Yes, very clear. And also, there had been a lot of criticism in the last 3 months of the board of directors of Tesla that they were letting the most important Tesla employee ignore the company while the company was struggling.
So then there was a denial by this. They've put out a denial. What do you make of that? Because you're a journalist. What do you make of the Wall Street Journal?
I don't think the denial is credible. And if you read, I don't have the wording in front of me. If you read the wording doesn't say we did not initiate a search and contact two executive search companies.
It's carefully worded.
Something like we would never, you know, we were never seriously considering replacing it.
I see.
No, we just initiated a search for his replacement.
Do we have two more? Are we done?
Yes. No. We have three more. So I'm going to give you a choice, and then we'll do the third one.
Okay.
The status of the penny, or the status of what will be under the Christmas tree this Christmas.
George.
Let's go with the pocket change.
Penny. Pennies. We're going penny.
Yesterday, of course, was the 100th day of the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. That means there are 1,361 days to go. We're 100 days in, 1,361 days to go. The promise that I was most excited about was
they were
going to
get rid of the penny. Yeah.
Get rid of the penny and save money. Coinstar has said the penny will not be eliminated. So promises made, promises not kept on that one. Not even Donald
Trump. Who is Coinstar to tell us?
USAID.
Who is Coinstar to tell us that we're going to get rid of, not that, that the penny's not going to be eliminated? What do they know?
They're the people who process pennies in America.
No. Well, they process them on the other side, but they don't make them.
No, they don't make them, but they're a lobbyist. They like pennies, and they have announced that the penny will not be eliminated. So we managed to get rid of the most important foreign aid organization in the government, USAID. Yeah,
now we saved some pennies.
Stronger than Donald Trump.
To have a little balance on this show.
Here's what's going to be here's what's going to be under the Christmas tree this year. Nothing.
That's not nothing true. There's going to be a couple instead of $30. I read Trump said instead of $30, you're going to have two, and instead, right. You're going to have to pay a couple more bucks for them.
He said your Christmas presents will be reduced from 30 to 2, which is to say that they'll be reduced 94%. China produces 80% of all toys sold in the U.S., 90% of all Christmas merchandise, like decorations. The port of L.A. and Long Beach next week, cargo from China down 36%. 25% of all ships scheduled into the Port of Los Angeles in May have already been canceled. The ships are empty, leaving China. This is when the Christmas products are ordered and start being shipped, right now. So it is going to be, if you have something you want to give for Christmas, I would go buy it right now, and I am not kidding. I'm going to buy some dog toys.
Right.
buy them now.
It is interesting. I saw literally a Facebook post by a trucker who was worried about his job because if the stuff doesn't come on a boat, it doesn't have to be trucked across the country wherever else. And so truckers are worried.
The trucks start out by having the containers from the ship loaded on a truck bed right at the port, and 36% less cargo from China next week at the port of LA and Long Beach. That means 36% fewer trucks. The trucks, the warehouses, the railroads.
All right, let's get to wrap this up with one cheerful story that'll
like,
get me happy.
On this moment as a high point.
I do. I look back on this particular moment, fish on Friday, on Tuesday, on Thursday, as a high point.
This was the most amusing story of the week so far.
Okay.
A lawyer in Michigan decided to name his law firm Dragon Lawyers. Then he purchased for $20 a cartoon of a dragon wearing a business suit.
Yeah.
Channeling, he said, Game of Thrones. People love dragons.
They do. They also like nude filing. People. Also, he could have put nude people on there. Also prominently featured in the Game of Thrones.
I think even for him, nude people. His name is Jacob Perrone. He's been in practice 17 years. Now he's named his firm Dragon Lawyers. He put the dragon, the purple dragon in a suit on all 12 pages of a court filing for a woman in jail in Clinton, Michigan. And the federal judge, the federal magistrate hearing the case, literally rejected the filing, calling it distracting, juvenile, impertinent, quote, this court is not a cartoon.
This is the courts taking themselves too seriously, man.
This logo is incredible, by the way. I found it.
You found it? Awesome. What do you think of it?
Isn't the dragon awesome, George?
It's pretty cool. I can totally understand why they would think this. I don't know about this.
I thought you were going to tell me about the dog. There was a dog that you told us once in Australia.
Yeah, I decided the dog story.
All right, Charles, we appreciate the extra work that you put in this week, and we apologize to the peanut gallery that was depressed by the extra work you put in. The week. We'll talk to you again on Tuesday.
The judge gave the woman whose case it was until Monday to have the case, to have the complaint refiled without the dragon.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thanks, Charles.
So
appreciate
didn't
it.
Miss out.
By the way, one thing he didn't
have
get.
Good Friday.
Get out of here. One thing he didn't get to, George, is there was a seagull calling contest in Belgium, where it's called the European Golf Scream Championship, and it's not unlike the duck calling over in Stuttgart.
Yeah.
Right? They do the duck calling. Now that one, I think. Duck calling has a point. You're really trying to call ducks. You want the ducks to come so you can shoot them.
Sure.
Seagulls, it's not. Like, you're not trying to lure in seagulls. The truth of the matter is seagulls in a lot of places are considered kind of a nuisance because they poop on everything and whatever else. But they had a seagulls screaming contest, and I have to say, very impressive.
Like, you found a clip of this?
Google it. No, I was thinking of sending it to you in advance and we could play it, but how would they have known it's a real seagull or whatever? I'm not gonna.
People can't see these.
I didn't want to burden people with that, but there you go. Well, we thank Charles for helping us get through this Thursday. What's coming up next on 92.9?
Jason and John have Drew Hill coming on at 11:25.
That he's not going to talk about the GDP.
I don't think he will.
Yep.
We've got Eric Hasseltine with Jeffrey at 2:40. And you, Jeff Calkins, at 5 o'clock with Gabe.
I always forget that. I'll be on again with Gabe. Listen to me then. We'll be back tomorrow for now. Work is done.